Here we are.
Hello, and welcome to this special edition of Waxing's World. I'm your host, Jackson Allen Cook, and I know just about everything.
I would have to humbly disagree, but the things that you do know are important. I will give you that.
Okay, and as usual, recurring guest on the show, Andrew Boyle, Boyle Meets World.
Pleasure to be here, Waxing. Hey, I haven't asked you this in a while, so take your time, think on it what if you need. Am I funny? I need an honest answer. I just need you to be honest with me, and I can take it.
Let me think as I bite into this burger, junior cheeseburger.
Oh, you got bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's. Oh, we got the same then.
By the way, this episode is brought to you by Wendy's 4 for 4, and we'll get into the reasoning why later. But
yes,
I would have to say you're not really fun. Like, some people might find you funny, some other people might not find you funny. I'm gonna say you're not funny though.
You know, biting into one of the chicken nuggets I got with my Wendy's 4 for 4, it makes it a lot easier to swallow that fact while I'm swallowing a chicken nugget as well. I have come to grips with the fact that I'll never be funny. I think anyone that's ever been associated with this podcast or still associated will agree that I'm not a funny guy. So let's just leave it at that. I don't think we need to belabor this point anymore.
I will say, Boyle, you try to be funny.
I mean, I feel like I make a decent effort.
You make a decent effort. But we got a couple things on the show today. March Madness is just right around the corner. Mm-hmm. We have the greatest spectacle in racing coming up in July. And we're going to preview that a little as Boyle and I are pretty much the two people who've made that thing is what it is today.
I mean, we've got it off the ground, and I mean that it's rolling. I'm really proud of how we've got it going now.
Yep. And then March Madness, and then we have to talk about Wendy's 4 for 4 too.
Do we want to first talk about Wendy's 4 for 4 and talk about why we are honoring Wendy's 4 for 4 on this podcast today?
Yeah. So There's a guy, his name, I don't even know what his name is.
His name is Marco Anthony.
But I only refer to him as the Wendy's 4-4 guy. But he plays collegiate basketball at Utah State. He played at Virginia for 2 years, am I correct, Boyle?
Yeah, he won a national championship with Virginia, then transferred.
R.I.P. that Carson Edwards Purdue team.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he was reported in the – are they in the Mountain West?
Let's just say yes, because I don't really care to look it up. But I would assume they're in the Mountain West.
Yes, I think that's true. But anyways, in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, the commentators for that was talking about, like, reasonings why, like, basketball players choose their numbers and, like, they say, like, sometimes they have, like, a special meaning for them. Like, their father used to wear the number back when they played and whatnot. Well, Marco Anthony, the Wendy's 4 for 4 guy, says he wears the number 44 because of how much he loves Wendy's 4 for 4 meals. So, with that, Boyle and I both got Wendy's 4 for 4 meals tonight in preparation.
It's a powerful message. It really sends a powerful message.
By the way, Utah State, 11 seed in the – are they in the South region?
They are in the South region. They are playing Texas Tech.
So you got the Wendy's 4-for-4 guy, and then you got Mac McClung, who plays for Texas Tech. And Mac McClung was like some like high school phenom, I guess. I don't know. He went to Georgetown, and then he transferred.
So here's the thing I don't get is Texas Tech, their BPI rank was 8. Like, they're the number 8 team in the country, but they're a 6 seed. So I don't know if Marco Anthony and the Utah State, I'm assuming they're the Utes. I don't know.
They are the Utes. Utah State, I feel like you're getting screwed by drawing Texas Tech. No, that's Utah or the Utes. I don't know what Utah State is. I have a feeling they might be like a wolf. Are they the Wolves?
They are Big Blue. I think they're Bulls. Yeah, they look like Bulls. Big Blue. Utah State Aggies, maybe? Yeah, it's Utah State Aggies. That's it.
There we go.
But anyway, I mean, the only thing that's going to get them past Texas Tech, in my opinion, is Wendy's 4-for-4 guy. So we'll see.
God, eating one of those spicy chicken nuggets from the Wendy's 4-for-4. Not really spicy, but
it catches you.
It does. It does. I'm going to wash it down with this tropical berry lemonade.
I got screwed with the Sprite. I shouldn't have told the guy to just pick for me. Did you randomize your order too?
I got lucky with the lemonade. My guy almost forgot my drink. I was like, hey, just surprise me. And he went big with the tropical berry.
He's really taking care of you.
He was, and I got the spicy chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
My guy knew what was up. My guy knew what a good Wendy's 4-for-4 was.
Well, I probably need to go to the one that you went to because mine aren't any good.
I got
the bacon cheeseburger, but he gave me the regular nugs and they gave me a Sprite to drink, which just didn't do it for me.
Well, so, I think, have we talked enough about Wendy's 4-for-4?
Yeah, I will say, let's just give a little advice out there for people. When filling out your brackets, just keep in mind, statistically speaking, there's more Big Ten teams in the tournament than any other conference. So, I'm not telling people they have to choose a Big Ten team to win the national championship, but statistically speaking, a Big Ten team has a better chance than any other team in the country to win the national championship. Just based on...
And these aren't like low seeds either. Like they had two number one seeds. Am I correct? This was actually the first year in quite a while that I haven't watched the selection show.
They had two number ones and two number twos.
Yeah, because Iowa was a two, Illinois is a one, Ohio State's a two, and then is Michigan the other one?
Michigan's the number one, which I don't know how, but
hey, Juwan Howard. He's pretty good. He's going to be good. Juwan Howard's going to make Michigan a very good program. They're a football school.
Right.
Michigan's a basketball school.
Yeah, it just depends.
Michigan's a basketball school.
It depends who the head coach is.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so at all?
No. When Dave Portnoy, one of Michigan's most successful alumni, says they're officially a basketball school, you know that's true.
I'll take the man's word for it.
But let's hop into the little bit of bracketology before we get to the Fat Man Mile update.
Okay.
So, boy, how about you roll? Because I haven't even had a chance to really look down and, fill out a complete bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go off with the Gonzaga. I'm guessing they're the West region.
They're in the West region. I feel like the West region is – I don't want to say the easiest because none of them are easy because no one's ever done a perfect one. Either them or the Midwest are going to be your best bets just to pick the higher seed and move on. The trouble starts with the South. I had a harder time with the South than anything. The East has some pretty good matchups, like your St. Bonaventures, who are names that you know, but you never really know whether or not to pick them. Michigan State and UCLA being the play-in game to play against BYU, that's an interesting matchup. UNC Greensboro going against Florida State will be interesting. And then personally, my sleeper of the tournament is Maryland. Maryland is a very good defensive team. They're physical. They're athletic. They run with anybody. And they don't they handle adversity well. They were down like a substantial amount against Michigan State and then turned it around. So I would look to them. I think a lot of people are going to choose UConn just because of the name recognition. But my two bits of advice are, and there are two pro Big Ten bits of advice are, number one, look out for Maryland. Number two, if you get to the end and you can't choose a champion, your best bet is to pick a Big Ten team, because statistically speaking, there's more Big Ten teams in the tournament. Hey. So your best bet is to go with Big Ten.
Hey, Big Ten, right in America's heartland, that's where basketball is at its best.
100%.
And especially since the entire tournament is going to be in the state of Indiana, and we all know, Boy and I, both Hoosiers, hate IU, but both native Hoosiers, we understand that basketball is just built different in Indiana. If you go to high school, hey, if you go to Tipton, Indiana on a Friday night during basketball season, the atmosphere is just different.
I would have to imagine that Tipton High School's gym is bigger than 85% of the gyms in California.
Yep, I wouldn't disagree with you there. And Tipton, and for our listeners that don't know, Tipton's a small town.
Yeah,
it's like your typical, like, if you're thinking about the movie Hoosiers, you're thinking like Tipton, Indiana. Like, honestly, I know it's Hoosiers was based off of Milan, and that story could have, honestly, it could have been based off Tipton.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. Well, I'm finished. I'm done with my 4 for 4 now, so I'm ready to get into talking about the Fat Man Mile whenever you are.
Yeah, I am. That's going to be the base of this show.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to base? I would assume the most of our listeners know what it is. Do you want to start with what the Fat Man Mile is, or do you want to skip that part and get into what's
going on? Oh, we can do a little refresher on what the Fat Man Mile is.
So basically, straight out of school, you decided that you wanted to provide post-collegiate runners from Indiana in the Indianapolis area with some sort of opportunity to go and compete one more time. I know that you and I both, being post-collegiate athletes, like, we still have that competitive edge. And even though we're out of school, like, we still run and we still are trying to stay in shape. So this gives people that kind of outlet to come and compete one more time. Well, it'd be coming once a year now. And we've, from the get-go, decided that we want it to be at the historic Lutton Loop in Lawrence, Indiana.
It's called the historic Lawton Loop.
For a reason.
A little bit of backstory about the Lawton Loop and why it's so historic. There's a man who coached at Lawrence Central for years. It's Lawrence Central, right in the heart of Lawrence. And by the way, neither Boyle and I are from Lawrence, Indiana.
Right.
But Lawrence is an historic part of Indianapolis. Because it's like its own little town. So, like, more people will probably be familiar with, like, how Speedway is its own town, but it's within Indianapolis city limits. So, I forget, like, how, like, the government portion of works, but there is, like, a mayor of Speedway. There is, like, a mayor of Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
But they will... the city of Indianapolis supersedes what their governments are. So, with that being said, Lawrence is in the northeast part of Indianapolis. And the reason why a man who coached at Lawrence Central for years, his name's Mike Coleman, ended up coaching at Marion, still does to this day. He would always send
finishing men's team in the top five men's program in track and field this winter.
I know, it's impressive. He's a hell of a track coach. Cross country, he needs to get the talent.
Jury's still out.
Yeah, he needs to get when he has the talent. When he has too much talent to know what to do with, he's pretty damn good, but I would say he doesn't coach up his runners distance-wise. He's probably one of the best, like, 400, 800 runner coaches, or arguably probably in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe of all time in the state of Indiana. Like, he's gotten so many guys to run, like, 150 to one, like, sub 150 or, like, 150 in his life. So, like, he knows what he's doing.
Let's talk about the race. And
yeah, but also talk about when I get back
people
to
people care
it,
about, not yeah, the geographical location.
It, yeah, I know. But when I get back, we're racing at the Lock and Loop because Holman, he'd always have his athletes run around the loop. It's almost like a perfect mile. So that helps us. And like, he would just have workouts there for years. And even in the college days, I mean, we were in Marion, which is on the west side of Indy. We'd still go up to Lock and Loop probably like a couple times a year and just do mile repeats. And
mm-hmm.
It was a blast. Some of my favorite workouts there. But anyways, let's go to the race. So July 31st, last Saturday in July, which will be a tradition from here on out, that we will have the race on the last Saturday of July on the Lock and Loop, unless if you could coerce me to leave the Lock and Loop if it's to someplace better.
It's going to take a lot of convincing, though.
Uh-huh. Only place that I'm thinking of right now is IUPUI Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Carroll Field?
Carroll. Yep. It's the only place I can think of that could probably replace the Lock and Loop. And that way I would have it under the lights.
So where we are now, last year we ran with, I think, 8 total athletes.
We had 9 because Bryson came in last place, and he will not be getting it. I still need to mail out the first all fat man team. I still need to send those out. You're actually talking to 2 members of the original All Fat Man team.
The original Fat Man Mile participants, Jackson and I, took place. Jackson took 2nd. I think I took 6th. I'm not.
You were 7th.
Oh, yeah.
The order went.
I forgot.
Mitch,
me again.
It went Mitch 1 in a heartbreaking defeat. I got 2nd. Keegan Ridgway, he will be competing again this year, got 3rd. Keflin Cabrenegas got 4th. Were jury still out on him competing? I doubt he will. Joe Landeros was 5th. Joe will be competing this year. Then Nathan Gonzalez was 6th. And he says he's going to turn in an application, but I'll see it when I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was you who will be in the booth this year. So I think that's where you belong.
Yeah.
And then Cam Deppen.
I don't think we'll see him.
I don't think we'll see him either.
But that
was the first all Fat Man team.
I think we had 11 commitments, and then we ended up having a field of 9. To this year, yeah. We have decided that we're kind of easing up our restrictions on and. We're not holding as true to the fat man part of the fat man mile anymore, which right or wrong, we're going to get more people involved, which I think is the goal, give more people opportunity. But anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. We now have a fat man mile and a fat woman mile with a total of 30 people registered, if not right around 30. So
as of today, we have 24 people on the Fat Man Mile side of things that have registered. As of right now, on the Fat Woman side of it, we only have 2, but that's expected to grow to about, like, probably 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And on the men's side, I'm probably expecting about 30 to 35.
Yeah, I would assume we're probably going to see at least 10 more men and 10 more women. I think people are purposely dragging this out to make your life miserable.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think they'll understand why I want the applications turned in so early, when they see all the festivities on race day.
I mean, most people aren't involved, so they don't get it. So I kind of understand, but
I think they'll understand how much work that's actually going. There's a lot of work behind the scenes that I don't think anyone who's just an outsider would really understand what's happening to make this all work. Like, we had to, like, for us to use the Lawton Loop, like, we had to reach out to the city of Lawrence, and then we had to reach out to the Lawton Loop HOA.
Well, I had to talk to the Chamber of Commerce. I had to talk to the Deputy Chief of Staff of the Mayor's Office. I mean,
who also Deputy Chief of Staff of the Mayor's Office will be participating in the Fat Man Mile.
That's something exciting to highlight. I mean, you can't get much more local than a Lawrence boy, went to college in Lawrence, ran college in Indiana. Now he's working for the city of Lawrence. I mean, Joe Murphy, without a doubt, the pride of Lawrence, probably top tier Lawrence runner. And we're bringing him in for the second year. It's something we're really excited about. I think he's definitely going to push a lot of guys out there to compete. The kid's gone 4:01 in the mile.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to bring out the best in everyone's competition that day. So
I wonder,
really excited to have.
I wonder if we could even get like some other, like, so Joe Murphy was a Lawrence North grad.
Mm-hmm.
There's some LC guys too, like Matt Dorsey, that I'd like to see out there.
I mean, we have the connections. I mean, not the name drop, but I mean, Chris Hansen's going to be in a race. We have Ben Hendricks in a race. I mean, those two alone know probably half the state of their graduating class. And I know there's a huge group of guys that would love to do this that just don't know about it yet. So, I mean, if
there's only, hey, I will say I am going to be blacklisting a couple people just because I know them personally and I know them to be just complete dicks. And I know that they are not what the Fat Man Mile is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But there, those people, I will not name those people per se. I never ran on teams personally with any of these people, but I've heard stories and I've had interactions with some of these individuals, and no matter how much they plead for me, they're not going to race.
I mean, I feel like we're allowed to do that at this point. I mean, it's our race. We've put a lot into it. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Plus, I also think maybe, I don't know, I'll have to think about it. Like, this year, like, Boyle and I have been talking, like, this year, like, there's some things that we want to do, but we probably can't do. But so I think we're already planning to do it up in 2022 for that race. I think the third year is going to be, I think this year's definitely going to be different from the first year. But also because, like, COVID-19, like, the pandemic was in full swing. Like, I think when we ran it last year, like, things were just, like, even just starting to open up, like, even, like, the slightest, like, places were still closed, and, like, I mean, obviously, mask mandates were also a thing. I mean, they still are. I don't know if I'm gonna force people to wear a mask at the Fat Man Mile. I'm just gonna go with whatever guidelines, any governmental guidelines by the city of Lawrence, or I'll be at this city of Indianapolis or under Greg Holcomb's.
I can say this with complete certainty that the Fat Man Mile will host more vaccinated athletes and spectators than any race in the country, without a doubt. We will have the highest rate of vaccinated athletes and vaccinated spectators of any official race in the country, definitely in the state of Indiana, maybe the country.
I would say as a percentage, definitely.
Without a doubt.
Basically, hey, we have so many, we have heroes racing.
I mean, there's heroes all around us, and to be able to just get back to those heroes and give them a chance to run, or a chance to watch a race, which is something that more people enjoy than actually taking part in the race, like myself. I mean, it's an honor to be able to give back to those people.
Yeah. So I think we have about, like, we're expecting like 35 men, probably 10 to 15 women. And the women number, I'm more sure of the men's race number and what we're getting out of that. The women's race, I could honestly, we might be able to get 20 if we started marketing that one late, because Boyle and I, we were trying to get a feel for, like,
the original plan was for next year, but then the push was so great to have the Fat Woman Mile.
Yeah, so we got a little bit later of a start on that and planning all that. Like, I for the Fat Man Mile, I sent the original applications, and I was started receiving them I sent them, like, right after Christmas, mm-hmm. I think. Like, I think I sent them, like, on, like, December 27th or 28th, and I think we got some of our first applicants, like, right before the, right at the turn of the year. But anyway, so, and also something this year that we're doing is I think our live stream is going to be way better. And I know I'm excited for that. We're actually going to have a good commentating team this year. Last year, I think we had thoughts of having the commentating team, but never like came into fruition. I think Presley Martin called the race last year. I think he did a fantastic job, but I think we're going to have a more formalized team this year of Andrew Boyle and Nolan Enloe. Nolan Enloe is going to be the play-by-play guy, Boyle is going to be more of the color commentator.
Two of the biggest names in race broadcasting right now, Nolan Enloe and Andrew Boyle.
I mean, they say they are the Jim Nance and Tony Romo of Fat Man Mile, Fat Woman Mile.
That's race. What they've told me.
That's it. And then we have some excellent sideline reporters.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, we have some excellent sideline reporters. Boyle's wife is going to be one of them.
Morgan Boyle is going to be a proud color commentator. She's going to be doing face-to-face interviews because she is now vaccinated. She has both doses of the Pfizer vaccine. She will be doing face-to-face interviews with her athletes before. She'll be giving commentary during the race, and she'll do post-race commentating. And then she'll be joined by Olivia Cole. I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah, I need your pronunciation. Is it Cole or Kale?
I think you're right.
Okay, we'll have to share that up. I've been meaning to ask. Well, not to ask. I would be embarrassed to ask.
Technically, I think it's
Kel.
Yes. I forget, to be honest.
Well, you would be the expert over me. That's all. That's what we'll leave it. Anyway, Olivia will be doing the same tasks as Morgan. I think they're both pretty good for the job. They were both runners. So they're going to know the right questions to ask. Plus, they're both a little light on the eyes. So, I mean, that helps as well.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we'll also have an excellent training staff there. I think Trainer Joe, the infamous Trainer Joe, former Marion trainer, now North Central trainer, will be the official trainer.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. I think that might be breaking news. I don't know if we've confirmed. I don't know if Connor Smith, who is our athletic training guru for the Fat Man Mile, I don't think we've confirmed that. Just assuming
Trainer Joe. Yeah, I don't think many people know that, and that's a pretty exciting thing for all of us involved.
Yes, yeah, I think I wanted to do it last year, but Trainer Joe said, no, you're not big enough. But I think now we're old, we're retired collegiate athletes. Like, we're not the spring chickens.
We're in the business now. I mean, we're legit. We're in the business.
Yep, I know. And also, like, the athletes are older, and over under, how many pulled hamstrings or injuries do we have this year?
I'd say we probably have 2.5. I'm going to set the over under at 2.5 people go down and don't finish the race.
I don't know. I can't wait for, I'm not going to say, Boyle and I, we've talked about something that we're going to add for next year's race, and I don't want to spoil
it. We can't talk about it.
We can't do that because everyone's going to want it for this year, and it's just not feasible.
We'll work it out. It'll be well worth the wait. We'll leave it at that.
Yes, we will. But anything else you want to add about the release? I think we're gonna formally release the field probably beginning of April. We could do
a live release on here.
No, because I want a formal video. Like, my idea is that we do like Selection Sunday. I'm coming out, like, you introduce me, and then I come out, I'm in a full suit, and I'm just looking at the camera, and I introduce the field in alphabetical order.
That works.
Like, I will be like, welcome to the Fat Man Mile this year. I am your Fat Man Mile and Fat Woman Mile commissioner for the 2021 race. And then I'll be like, I'll go on talk about how the Fat Man Mile is, what it means. Stuff to talk about
before we go. We can discuss this. Yeah, we need to talk about how we are an officially sponsored event.
Oh, yeah, we are. We are officially sponsored by Walker Hughes Insurance.
Yeah, we're receiving a pretty generous donation from Walker Hughes Insurance that's going to allow us to pay off any fees that we would be required to pay. I mean, now that we're doing this by the book, last year we just kind of showed up and run. This year we're actually paying the Lut and Loop Owners Association a fee. We're going to have to block off the road. We have to get an insurance policy to make sure that if anything goes wrong, that we aren't held liable, and neither is the neighborhood. But they gave us a pretty generous donation to cover all that and then some. But other than that, we have sponsored rewards. So the winner of the men's race is going to receive a prize pack from Triton Brewery right there in Lawrence. And then the winner of the women's race is going to win a pretty nice prize pack from Taxman Brewing, which is in Fortville. They're in Bargersville, which is on the south side. And they have a new location downtown that came just before COVID. And then we have other
Taxman downtown.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
That Taxman location's legit. I've been there a couple times for a couple happy hours post COVID or during COVID, and it's legit. Mm-hmm.
I will say we do also have some other things in the works. We can't really talk about them on here because they aren't official. But if we get a couple more, we're thinking it's going to be a really cool day on July 30th. I'm really excited for
it. Yeah. July 31st is going to be a special day. What's fun fact, that is the day after my grandfather's
was Bennett's birthday.
Last year was on my father's birthday. So this year is going to be the day after my grandfather's birthday. He was born on July 30th, 1935.
Is he going to make an appearance at the Fat Man Mile and the Fat Woman Mile this year?
I doubt he will make an appearance, but we'll have a tribute video. And also I think this year, and this is also one of the reasons why I wanted at Fort Bend in the city of Lawrence. And I think we need to honor the troops in some capacity. So if you're a veteran, please come out to the Fat Man Mile. Active military and what our veterans have done for this country is nothing short of amazing. We applaud you for everything you've done for us. You're willing to risk your life for our country and protect our freedoms. We would like to honor you in some capacity. Just show up and we'll think of something.
Another thing to highlight is the big thing here is give back to the community. We're also partnered with two small local companies, one of them being a clothing company called Victory Dawn, which was actually just featured on CBS4, a local news station here in Indianapolis. So it's run by a 17-year-old who lives on the east side of Indianapolis. He's got his own clothing company, so that's really cool. We're partnered with him. And they kind of spread the word about our race. We spread the word about their brand. And then we're partnered with a company called Taylor Turner LLC, who does all kinds of handiwork. So, I mean, we're really in this. We don't have any goal in this other than to, one, provide post-collegiate runners who represent the Indianapolis area well an opportunity to come out and compete once a year, and then to give back to the community and kind of highlight some businesses. Obviously, the breweries are local. This Walker Hughes is a one-building brick-and-mortar insurance company that's right over by Fort Bend. So, I mean, the big thing for us is keeping it local. And just like you're saying with the veterans, like anyone that comes out, we're gonna do something before the race to honor everybody. And it's something that we're really excited about.
Yeah, exactly. And also, fun fact about Taylor Turner LLC, the Taylor portion of Taylor Turner LLC will actually be right, participating in the race. Taylor. Our former collegiate teammate DJ Taylor will be running the Fat Man Mile this year. And I'll be honest, DJ, no matter what type of shape he's in, he's always going to be dangerous out on
the race. Without a doubt.
Like I've seen that man pull so many things out of his ass over the years. I saw that man hawk down a 152 guy. Keep in mind, he was a 152 guy before this race, and DJ hawked him down at the national meet in the prelims to run 149, and it was honestly, it might have been the greatest race I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without a doubt, like, that's like, and also, DJ had to do that for that 4x18 to make the finals, which was also Chris Hansen's last track race in his career. The captain, Chris Hansen. So, coming straight out of, like, a Disney movie, like, some guy coming out of nowhere. Only thing that would have even made it better is that they somehow won the national championship that year.
So, are we ready to wrap up? Anything else you want to add?
No, just to any of our listeners, you've made it this far. Just come out, Fat Man Mile, July 31st.
If you're interested in running, let us know.
Race.
Anyone who listens to this podcast already either has an application turned in or has one that they're working on turning in.
I know, but hey, you never know. But also, I think race time is going to be like around 10. There will be a after party after the race. That might be invite only. We'll see. I think anyone who participates in the race is going to be invited regardless. So I guess anyone who listens to this podcast at 3806 will be invited to that.
There we go.
Post-race party.
Another reason to listen this far into the race or into the podcast.
Exactly. Well, I think that's all the time we have today. Any parting shots?
God bless the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I hate the Pirates. Well, that's
God bless that's the all Fat we Man have Mile.
Today. God bless the Fat Man Mile. God bless the United States. And kids, absolutely, don't do drugs.
Stay away from them.